Hey guys, it's another Friday night. At least we think it is. Can't be sure now what day it is. Right, this week we have a great competition for you. We're going to give away a board game. It's Helter Skelter from Osprey Games, based in the Judge Dredd universe. If you want to be in with a chance of winning that, dead easy. All you have to do is comment on this video on YouTube. Make sure you've hit like. Please, please hit like. If you're watching this and you never hit like, make this be the week where you hit like. And make sure you're subscribed, because we do check, and we will pick a lucky winner at random. Right, it's time to get stuck in. There is stuff going on, and the weekend starts now. Everyone, and welcome to the Weekender. Okay, guys, time to lighten things up again. There's been another rough week, but we're here to look at the stuff that genuinely makes me happy. Right, I want to talk games, I want to talk plastic crack, I want to talk about all that stuff. Before we get stuck into it, I have a couple of housekeeping things that I just want to make some announcements on. One is that we are firing up live streams, dedicated live stream spots on the homepage of ontabletop.com. We currently have Laughing Boy in there. He's a community member. He's doing some great painting tutorials and, you know, just paint-alongs. And we have Sundancer in there. He does this great unofficial version of the Hobby Hangout every week, where people get together and he goes through the project systems and he talks about, you know, what people are up to. It's cool stuff. We also have our own in there that we're trying to get some stuff fired up onto, and we'll be adding some more. We're looking to add the Battlefront live stream as well, because those guys are getting up to speed with doing more and more kind of community live streams. If you are a live streamer on Twitch and you would like to have a wee dedicated spot on the homepage, just so that whenever people arrive, they can go in and check out some of the live stuff that's going on, reach out to myself or Ben via private message. Let us know, and we'll get you a wee spot set up there. Just so as it, you know, like I said, you know, it gives us something to watch, gives us something to plug into.
I was sitting on my phone the other night, and Jerry popped up out of the blue on the live stream. I was like, "Oh, there's Jerry. That's not even our live stream. That's someone else."
Oh, Jerry! No!
I get around.
Special guest Jerry.
Yeah. I now pick what Sundancer gets to look at every Tuesday night.
Oh, happy days! other than that, if we all didn't feel bad enough, this week it emerged that the legendary Henry Cavill is a war gamer.
Say it ain't so, is it so?
We already knew that he played PC games and that he was like well into Warhammer Total War and all that kind of thing, but we didn't know that he actually paints the stuff as well.
Where's
and
the
has
proof?
Done for quite a while. So, well, he posted on Instagram a picture of just one piece. He posted a picture of an Adeptus Custodes head that he's been painting.
Custom ring.
Yeah. So he already paints up the Golden Boys, the poster boys of the 41st millennium anyway, which is probably him angling to play as an Adeptus Custodes in some kind of film in the future. Because that's what he did with The Witcher. He was like, hey, I want to be Geralt of Rivia. Please let me be it. And then lo and behold, the Netflix series became something. So maybe he's going to try and angle for something to do with Warhammer 40,000 and Games Workshop in the future. We'll see.
I have a couple of issues with this.
Really?
My first issue with this is... I'm actually
very dare you take it mainstream.
I'm quite a fan of Henry, okay? I will admit to having quite a huge man crush on the guy, right? I loved his work in Man of Steel. Thought he was a superb Superman, and I think he should continue to be the Superman, because I think he was great at it. But I have two issues. One is, you know, I chose this hobby in this industry specifically so my wife would never be exposed to people who are likely to take her away from me. And you're a shite. Secondly,
you've got a point there, though, because remember, years ago there was that Brian, and he's a big muscly guy, used to do lots of YouTube videos.
Yeah.
I'm standing right beside Templar, and my message, he comes over and just starts feeling his muscles, and I'm like, I'm right here.
Yeah. So, you know, we've got Temps and we've got Henry Cavill. We need to get rid of these guys. You know, it's like the rest of us are all starting to look like hobos, you know. My second thing is, I doubt the legitimacy of this, right? As you know, I'm a very empathetic character, and I'm always trying to put myself into the shoes of other people. So I've been thinking long and hard about this, and I can't imagine Henry Cavill actually having the time to participate in our hobby. Because if I were him, I don't think I would ever leave the mirror. I think I would be there with my mirror before me, my pack of wipes, and that would be me. I don't think I'd have time for anything else, Ben.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, Henry, it is wonderful that you're one of
us. It's got that bad, has it?
Yeah. Hey! I'm a huge fan, Henry. And yes, don't give up the Superman. I know you've said you will, but don't. You're great at it. You're great at it. So, there. And you're a decent painter as well.
Yeah, he's got some good gold effects metallics going on there. Yeah, I want to see the finished article. I want to see the finished thing. I want to see what he's actually going to be working on in its, you know, full capacity. I want to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because all we have is a wee head teaser.
Yeah, it's just a head,
look,
man.
Look at the likes, 800,000. Yeah. Flash.
But you see, the thing about this is, and the other aspect of this, is this thing basically went shooting through the mainstream media as well. And the basic tone of it was, oh my God, all you wankers now have Henry on your side. And I sit and thinking to myself, well, actually, no, Henry now has us on his side.
Very true. Right?
he's not the first. He's not even the biggest name I can think of.
No, well...
Robin Williams.
Robin was a fan. I'd heard in the past... Well, obviously, we know Vin Diesel enjoys his tabletop gaming. I'd heard that Angelina Jolie, apparently, but I've never been able to source the root of that one, despite trying. Ed Sheeran is also a little Warhammer painter. But he's
that makes sense for Ed, expect, yeah.
So there are plenty, but it is cool, you know. I'm hoping that this isn't the only post that we see. You know, Henry, if you're going to do this, like, don't be a cock tease and open a project at On Tabletop and show us your work.
Show us what you got, as we say. Yeah,
that's it.
Bring it.
Right. It's that time, the most important time of this time on this time of a Friday night. It is, of course, Indie of the Week. Who picked it this week? Because I was going to pick it, and then I realized we'd already done them.
So I picked it this week. Yeah,
oh, you picked it this week.
I think this is right.
Whatever's right for you, Lloyd, because you're filming it.
Then he did it.
Yeah.
Right, so Ben.
No, I got it wrong because I'm flipped. He did it.
Oh, the production values of this show just keep getting better every week.
They do, yeah.
Who did you pick, Ben?
So this week I picked one Warplock Miniatures, who you will have heard us talking about in the past. They are it's a company that's pretty much done by Alex Huntley and his family, I believe. And he sculpts some absolutely stunning fantasy miniatures. They're all based around the world of Arkworld that he's created, which is a fantasy world that's got a lot of whimsy and quirk to it. And it's one that I talked about, I think previously, quite in a bite-sized segment a couple of weeks ago, where the game's very much based around the idea of like a cooperative experience at the table while also being competitive. Because one of the big things about it is that you have like the basic rules for all the different characters and creatures and stuff. But a lot of the sort of wider range of depth to the game is done through like cooperative sort of ideas. So it's like, oh, my ogre's going to pick up this tree and hit you, and then so you and your opponent just think about how much power that would cost and what kind of effects it would do as well on the battlefield. So there's a real narrative element to everything that's going on. And of course, as you can see here, as we're looking through these through the web store, he has some exceptionally good looking miniatures as well. One of the things I really like about the miniatures range as a whole is that he has this very distinct style, which looks a little bit sort of classic Warhammer in a way, especially when you look at things like the elves.
It's probably also worth mentioning it. If you haven't joined Alex's Facebook by this stage, can you please do it?
Yeah. Also, I should note that Alex is another one of these people in within the industry who's exceptionally hunky as a man.
Oh, so he's another one.
Yeah. So Alex has done, as you can see again, yes, like him. So he's got this really awesome style to him, which has got that kind of classic Warhammer feel to it, a little bit like the art you would have seen in some of the old
Are we books. Talking about his hunkiness still, or are we not?
Yes. but also sort of going into the realms of sort of a little almost kind of Henson-esque looking stuff as well. Uh-huh. So it's got that kind of weird fey nature to everything as well. Which I think is really cool.
Wait, go back, Lloyd. Go back. There is one of my favorite minis of all time, the Undead Leviathan.
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, it's like an undead Moby Dick, but instead of having Ahab strapped to his back, it has kind of like the remains of a ship strapped to its back. And how cool is that?
And that's one of the cool things I really like about the stuff that he's done for Arkworld and Warblock as a whole, is that while he does a lot of stuff for the game itself in terms of the units and the factions, that kind of thing, he also does this amazing range of monsters, as you can see here. So he's done some brilliant dragons and stuff like that.
We need bigger pictures.
The thing he's done for this as well is that he's tied it into like the narrative as well. So he did a Kickstarter for like the frozen north of the Arkworld sort of realm, and he tied into that the idea of this explorer going up there and seeing all of these creatures. And so a lot of stuff that he did in terms of rules has been from like that person's perspective. So it's been this really kind of interesting, Mordekainen's Tomb of Foes,
or your
D&D and things,
or your mate, your dude from Harry Potter, what do you call him?
That guy.
Yeah.
Whose name I've forgotten, but yes.
Yes. It's a very forgettable name. So.
Yeah. But you've got that kind of, like Fantastic Beast thing going on.
That's really cool. Fantastic Beasts. Yes.
He's got an absolutely amazing range of stuff that he's been doing for this. We talked about the fact that he's doing, as you can see here, that two-player print and play set as well. So you can dive in and play the game for yourself, which is really good.
Cool.
He's got all the assets for that. Yeah, all for free, which is really good. And it's all based off his artwork as well. So it's his artwork that then gets turned into his miniatures. So basically, Alex does pretty much all of it, really. He's very good at what he does. And as I say, just that really nice, whimsical, weird, slightly alternative fantasy style for all the miniatures and stuff. Really nice collection. And he's been expanding it, ever since. He's even gone through and done almost like a second edition of a lot of the original stuff. So the core forces that he did back in the day were the Albionicans, who are the humans in the world, and the halflings of Hobbleshire, he called them.
Mm-hmm.
But he's now reinvented those a little bit and done new versions of those miniatures, updated his sculpting techniques as well, so that you get a little bit more of a fresh look to all the stuff that matches what he's done since he started Warblock as well. So we always
go back to that main menu screen there, Lloyd. Back a couple, because I want to see that. That list of the factions again that you had up, because one of the great things about companies like this is you've two routes that you can kind of follow. Okay, so scroll down. I just want to see. So he's got like Norse dudes in there. Yep. He's got kind of like dark elvy kind of dudes in there. Ancient dead. The Bay Orcs.
Yeah, so they're Bayou versions of orcs. So they're all like obsessed with like voodoo and stuff. Those guys.
I want to see the undead. All right, so this is the Bayou Orcs. Okay.
And they're all hillbillies.
Cool. Yeah, hillbilly orcs. Hillbillies, yeah. But let me see the undead there, Lloyd.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to have to go you like should, this Facebook page.
Yeah, you are going to have to like this Facebook page. Yeah.
If you'd done it once a long time ago, it would have saved you a lot of issues.
Right. This is what, right. Okay. This is, I'm going to use this to express my example here. The great things about a company like this is, yes, absolutely, you could go and get into the Ark World game, yeah, and he has all this nice, easy way of getting equally, you could also take a company like this and use it as a starting point for an army for another game.
Okay? Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So a couple of routes into that. One is, if you wanted to make an undead army, there's some beautiful minis there that you could reach out, grab, and start to put together a bit of an undead army. Mm-hmm. The other way to do it, and this is one of the ways I like to approach my agnostic fantasy armies, is sometimes I like to start around a centerpiece. Mm-hmm. So if you go to the Beastery Lloyd, that's B up at the top. There you go, in the middle. That's the one. So what I would be tempted to do would be to go in here into this beastry, because it's going to be your kind of centerpieces, and look for something to kind of inspire me. Now, obviously, the Undead Leviathan completely inspires me to do something like an Undead Fishman Army of Doom.
Well, Undead Pirates, amazing. Which he has. Yeah.
He does have undead pirates.
Zombies.
The thing that I'd really like to do is do something based around like a dragon, because obviously when it comes to kind of like necromancy and stuff, everyone tends to go with the idea of like a wizened old man who's managed to raise everything back up. Imagine it being around the idea of a dragon, because obviously dragons are infused with magical energy, and a lot of them can cast spells as well.
Yeah.
Imagine doing it around a dragon who's managed to like summon up all the people that he's killed that have come to try and take all his treasure away, and so he uses that as part of his army or something. That could be kind of cool.
Tomorrow, well, not tomorrow. What day is it? So it's still Friday. We haven't reached Saturday yet. On Sunday morning in XLBS, Ben, you're going to love what I'm going to show to you.
Oh, awesome. Cool.
Because we're going to be talking hobby time, so I've got some cool stuff to show to Ben that I've been working on. And now is maybe a decent moment to say to you guys that XLBS is a show that we do for our Cult of Games members. So the Cult of Games members are a group of people that help us keep the lights on. And we need more of them. We need a lot more of them because of this whole coronavirus thing. So if you happen to enjoy this show and you've been a member for a while enjoying this show and you're in a position to maybe help, now would be a great time to come across and join the Cult of Games, $3.79 a month or whatever. But it would allow us to be able to keep the lights burning into the future, because the coronavirus has certainly made the future about as uncertain as it can be. We have over the years tried to divest into other revenue streams to be able to keep the price of backstage of what became the Cult of Games as low as possible. So we've opened the store and stuff like that. The difficulty we have is that this shutdown has stopped basically all of those other revenue streams from being effective. So our last line of defense now to try and keep the whole thing, ticking along the way that it should be ticking along, is through Cult of Games members. So again, I wouldn't ask, because situations like this, everybody's under pressure. So if you're feeling the pressure anywhere else, don't you worry about it. Just ignore me. But if you are in a position that you would like to become awesome and join the Cult of Games and be a cult member, you get to join an honest to God cult, guys. You will love it. Now would probably be a pretty good time to join a cult. So if you're going to join a cult, come and be in my cult. You want to be in my cult?
As we're saying this, Henry, if you're watching, mate.
Henry!
Come and join, man, yeah.
Henry, you'd be very welcome to join our cult. You ain't getting in for free, by the way. You pay your cult fees the way the rest of us do. But Henry, if you want to, seeing as you're so lonely, you know, we can be there, and you have the added benefit that we all make you look even better than you already
are. Yeah, and you guys can help out by thumbing this video, because the amount of times we've said cult, this isn't getting shared. Oh, yeah. We said cult, we said virus, this ain't going anywhere.
Pants. Oh, well, we're our own worst enemies. So, but yeah, Ben, in XLBS on Sunday, I've got a real treat for you, man.
Awesome.
You're going to love it. There. On that cliffhanger, guys, go and check out warplockminiatures.com. Beautiful miniatures, great game, another great indie of the week that deserves your support at this time. Right. Jerry has put me in the mood for a Guinness, and it's time to listen to Ben's news.
Coming to you from the center of Northwestern Europe, covering board games, war games, card games, and all that you love. It's the news.
Okay, it's that part of the show where I get to sit back and relax. It's time for Ben's news. Ben, tell Jerry to tell us the news.
Yeah, so yeah, we're gonna start things off. We have managed to scrounge some news from the vast internet as it is at the moment. But yes, Jerry's gonna take the lead.
Before you get into it, are you finding it quieter out there?
There are sort of ebbs, and it's ebbing and flowing, would be the way to say. Yeah, so.
It's waxing and waning.
Waxing and waning.
That would be a complicated way of saying, yes, it's quieter.
Yes, it's quieter, yeah.
I do think this weekend there'll be a lot of stuff out, and next week we'll just be tripping over news. Yeah. But, you know.
Could well be. All I know is that hell hath frozen over, because Games Workshop have run two special offers and sales in the last couple of weeks. This is the company that never does a sale.
It's been a while.
In 10 years, I can't remember the last time they did a sale, but they have now done two. So if you give them 50 quid of your hard-earned cash up front for them to take care of for you.
Yeah.
if and when things get back to normal, they'll give you 55 quid back to spend on their stuff.
What? Is this for real, or is this a pre-order? What is it?
No, if you give them 50 quid for them to look after for you, they'll give you 55 quid worth of spending.
Is this like one of those Christmas club type things?
Christmas clubs, yeah. I want a turkey and a ham at the end of this.
So, just looking out for gamers, man. You know, it's like, don't be sending your money elsewhere to anybody else that might be shipping at the moment. Give it to us. We will look after it for you.
I'll tell you what you do. Give us 379 of that 50 quid.
Anyway, yeah, so you know, I can imagine it's not easy to find lots of riveting news right now, but if anybody can do it, it's you guys.
I bet there's a dwarf in there somewhere though.
Hurrah, yes.
All right, okay. All is right in the world.
Don't want to peek too soon.
Kick us off.
Yeah. Well, the first thing, in conjunction with the big prize that we're giving away this week, which is a copy of the Helter Skelter board game, which is 2000 AD based, Osprey have published a Let's Play, essentially, of the next expansion for that. If I use the medium of the internet and my screen share, who knows where this will go, but let's try.
I did it last week, man, and I almost got away with it. So yeah. It's your turn.
So Helter Skelter is a 2-4 player game, and it's based around 2000 AD. However, there is an expansion coming, which is called Helter Skelter, Judge Dredd, The Dark Judges. Is a nice compact name for anything. I feel
a lot of colon in there.
There's a lot of colon to be filled. It's really packed in. But this does two things. It introduces the gang of the Dark Judges. So if people have read 2000 AD, they'll be aware of Judge Death, Mortis, Fire, and Fear, who come from an alternate reality, which is perfect for Helter Skelter because it is all about reality ripping and other comic book parts, so like Slane or Strontium Dog or Dante, merging into the Judge Dredd part of 2000 AD, so they're coming from different realms. This one's ideal because this is the Dark Judges from their realm coming in to try and extinguish life. Now, apart from being able to use them as a fifth faction for Helter Skelter, it actually also includes solo rules. So Pete Ward from Osprey Games actually did a little solo Let's Play himself and did a battle report and a blow-by-blow sort of picture gallery of how he went through and played against himself and the Dark Judges. And you can play any of the factions. So if you're playing, you can play the Judges against the Dark Judges, or you can play Slain's Gang. And the rules currently are about 7 pages long. And there's a little test PDF that you can download if you want to try out some of these things beforehand.
So this is an additional 7 pages that then makes the other rules work?
The other rules work as solo. So there are, because the gangs in Helter Skelter are asymmetric, so Judges can do something different from Slain's Gang, which does something different from Dante's Gang. They have different bits and bobs that feed into the game mechanics. And the game mechanics, it's like a multi-arena. You either kill your opponents or you collect five, I can't remember what they're called, I think reality gems, reality crystals. You collect five capture points and then you win, or you kill all of your opponents. So when you're playing a solo version, Slain has certain abilities in his gang that impact, so it goes, right, don't do this, or tweak this, or this gang needs to be tweaked in this way to make it work as a solo rule set. But it's a fascinating little glimpse into what's coming with the pre-order up for it. It's the core mechanics are based on the Wildlands game, which was very, very popular from people. So it's not called a multi battle arena, but it is really a multi-battle arena, and this gives you a new faction and a solo rule set for it, which is just delightful.
Nice.
So you got new minis and new cards and some sort of new
rules. Minis, new cards and new rules. This board, I think, is the standard board, although I haven't been able to find out whether or not it is that. So it may have a second board as well, but essentially you get a new faction, a new rule set, and a solo play. You do need the Helter Skelter core set to play. But that's...
Don't quote you on the second board then, we're not sure.
Don't quote me on the second board because I haven't been able to find out whether or not it's in there. But that has, it's due out next month, but it's gone available for pre-order now. And if you're interested in seeing how it plays, definitely have a look at Pete's solo Let's Play where he goes through and he talks about the decisions he's making, the mechanics, and why things are happening the way they're happening. So it's a really nice insight into the game as a whole.
Happy days. As well as those solo play rules, there's other free stuff has come out this week.
Yeah.
Off with Kings of War 3rd Edition. They have... Now, is it a full rules, Jerry, or is it a kind of like an intro set of rules?
It's kind of like an intro set of rules in that if you want everything, as far as all the lists and everything else, you can't get them from this set of rules. However, the rules themselves are so compact for Kings of War that the rules themselves are there. So it's just the ancillary pieces you need.
And so there it's are a ways complete of getting set of those. Rules. The lists would be the only thing it would be.
And that all exists in and of itself in other places. I will steal. Steal the screen. I've done it once and now I feel it coming
you
up.
You feel empowered.
I really do.
The Henry Cavill in you is rising.
It's amazing. Amazing.
Go on, stick your crystal in me, man.
So, Kings of War is a tabletop masked fantasy battle game. And the interesting thing about it is it's footprint based, so like some of the more classic historic games. Mm-hmm. As long as you have the footprint, you're good to go. And then you can play these huge sweeping games. You can currently get this version, which is a 45-page version of the rules for free.
Which version?
Website.
Which version of the rules is this? Is this version 3 or what is it?
This is the third edition. The rules, really, between second and third, it's more or less a cleanup rather than a bigger change like first to second was. And this will take you through everything you need to know if you are keen on getting started into Masked Fantasy Battle. And there's some interesting things about this where we're currently sitting in the world, because everything you need to play the game is in here, bar the army lists. There are some example army lists towards the back end of it, which I'll skip on after the rules and see if I can find you some of those. But there are a couple of other things. Here we go. So this is your army selection. And it explains how you build an army up. But Mantic got on board with Easy Army. And Easy Army have done a army list builder for Kings for a while, but also for Bolt Action. They have one for Flames of War. It's a fan-run site, essentially. But Mantic have jumped in, and essentially you can now get a free version of Easy Army, which is in the browser, and will probably be below us in the show notes as well. Yep. Or you can actually have a paid version. And with these, you just go to a site here, and then you can put in, now I subscribe, but if I didn't subscribe, I could do all of this, except I wouldn't be able to save them to the website. I could still download and save my army list. But if I was to put in my ogre army,
so you get a select. So you got a catalog you can save, whereas it would expire as soon as you left the other way.
Yeah. Is that it? Yeah. But if, even though it would expire when I leave, I could still download what I've worked out. So with the free rules and Easy Army, I could then create a list in here. So even though you don't have the full rules in the Mantic download, they do have the full rules in Easy, or not the full rules, the full lists in Easy Army. So with mm-hmm. those two combined, you can play whatever game you want to play, and then nice. you can just go in here and build whatever you want to build. Ogre shooters are filth, so let's take some ogre boomers, which aren't filth.
Oh yeah, you need to get boomers in there, man.
So you start building your army in here, and then when you're done and dusted, that gives you your army, and you've got your army and you've got your rules, and you're sitting in your house and going, if only I could play a game now, because I'm a million miles away from all my friends who are being kept in by people with big sticks.
So what do you do, Jerry?
The internet has come to save you. And in this case, it's Universal Battle. Now, we've been playtesting some stuff in Tabletop Simulator recently. Mm. Universal Battle is different. It's not as shiny and three-dimensional and table-flippy, although it's more stable for that. but this is a classic old-school top-down battle report, or battle generator. So I don't know what you're looking at there.
What's that creepy wee hand? That's
that is just a massive monumental hand thing. Yeah. So with Universal Battle, again, there are free and subscription versions. The free one is good enough. It runs in your browser. You just need to sign up and you get a table, and then you can make your armies. If you want to have access to putting your own images and stuff in, if you're clever, or if you can get them from Tinterweb, or take photographs of your actual army and then download them as PNGs and stuff, you can do that. But essentially, this allows you to go and build a tabletop. So if I was to go down here to the bottom, I can pull up my terrain, and the terrain is blocked into various water, plants, whatever it happens to be. So let's put some walls in. I want to have this wall over here by this bit of scrubland, but I want to have it that way round.
More water.
Nice.
You want water? Okay.
More water and a shrubbery. I need a shrubbery.
I'll throw in some water. Put water in front of them, because that
can you increase the size of it?
No. You may be able to. I haven't found them yet, but
What do some of these buttons do? Click some shit there to see what happens.
You want me to click some shit there? The plus duplicates it. The arrow allows you to
rotate it.
So,
and what does that other bit do?
I have no idea what they've done, because I've never experimented that much with it.
Okay.
I'm still just getting into Universal Battle myself.
And let me guess, if you click that little trash can, it disappears.
It will go away. But once you get your terrain set down, you can lock it in place with a new padlock.
It
now stays where it is. And the rest
I never
of the game,
thought of that when he's not looking.
Yeah. and the rest of the game then has your various armies. So you can find ones that are downloaded already. You can make your own. You can drop them in. So if I want to have a, whatever happens to be, a hunter horde, let's have him. and he comes down to here. And then when you're playing, you get things like this. So this, every range band there is an inch. So if you're playing a game and let's say this unit was actually attacking, he said, being very bad at manipulating stuff. There are ways of turning shit. But anyway, you'll be able to go, okay, you don't have the rules in this. This does not give you the rules. This is just a tabletop. But with your free Kings of War rules, you can then go, right, he is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He's 10 inches away. In my army list, it tells me I can charge 12. I know I'm in arc of sight. Therefore, I can actually attack him. So I could charge them in and then pivot them. Do your dice rolling as well. This all requires you to have the rules and your stats, but with the free rules and Easy Army army list, you can get it all in here. Past month,
if we were playing this,
roll some dice there. I want to see the dice.
We would just roll our own dice and tell each other what the result was.
You could do, but they come into the sidebar here, and as you can see, it will list what the dice rolls are in order, but will also show you that I've got 3 at 5+, 4 at 4+, 3 at 2.
Do they have a playing card draw?
I haven't found one. Mm. That's not saying there isn't one in here, because I haven't really played about with it hugely. I only got it a month ago and then started tinkering with it because this is the second edition of it. But 146 players worldwide over the last 3 weeks played a Kings of War global tournament because everyone was locked inside. And it was literally like, you know, you'd be drawn against your opponent. It was, okay, well, he's in Spain, you're in Buenos Aires, work out a time that works for you, gentlemen, and go nuts. And they did, you know, they went all the way through the multiple rounds using the standard tournament procedures.
So many games of Kings of War played in pants.
Jerry!
Yeah, very much so.
I am going to talk to you about this. Mm. The ideas are brimming in my mind. I love that. I absolutely love that. And I'm assuming like you were in there on your own, but I could have been in there with you.
You could have been in there with me. You'll find people will make up armies and games in Universal Battle and then go, I'm sitting here, who wants to play? You'll find Ninth Age players are in there as well. They're various. If it can be played on tabletop, you can set your measurements, inches, centimeters, whatever it happens to be. And if the functionality isn't in there, then you can add the functionality in yourself in many respects. So it's just a virtual tabletop. What rules and system you want to use is up to what you have.
What happens when you zoom in? We didn't see that. Because like, it was all very small, but you can zoom in, can't you?
I can zoom in. Let me go back to.
Oh yeah, show us the zoom.
Monumental zooming there.
I want to see what the artwork for the
it's all just pixels.
So no, you'll be surprised. So if I go down here, let's get rid of my dice rolling, and then zoom in.
Oh cool.
So this is a chariot regiment that somebody's done.
Look at that grass.
As you can see, a set of boars and ogres. Cool. Or over here where my little fight was ongoing, you'll be able to see that somebody's being taken roughly from behind there.
If you're that hand in Photoshop, though, you could actually do like proper maps and stuff and put imports, can you?
If you're clever, yes. If you're not clever like me, or if you buy the subscription version, and the subscription's like $30 for a year, they do have a lot of things like they've got a human and then your human. You can change the skin tone. You can put various weapons. They've got a whole suite in there, and it's all PNG, I want to say. So it's layers. So you can go, okay, well, I want that to be on top of this, but then below that, and I want to make him a mount now. So I'm going to put this saddle on top of this mount and put him on top, and now he's cavalry. So that's all in there. If you want the sub version, if you don't want to pay for it, there's stuff in there for the free version. It's more limited, but you still have the option of making your own bits and pieces. So
happy days.
There's a bucket load of free stuff out there now with this whole nonsense going on. So get your rocks off and get some game time.
We've got some more free stuff. Who wants to talk about this next one? Ben?
Yeah, sure. You may remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the fact that D&D Beyond were offering up some free adventures for you to go on if you're going to be diving into Dungeons & Dragons. Well, they are continuing to do that. They're going to be doing one again for the next 2 weeks, I believe, as well, all the way up until May 13th, when hopefully things will, you know, quiet down a little bit more. But if you want to play some games and you want to take on the Sunless Citadel adventure, then that quest is now available over on D&D Beyond for you to go and check out. It's taken from the wider book called The Tales from the Yawning Portal, and it's a quest for first-level characters going through all the way to third-level characters by the end of it as well. It's a little bit of a sort of classic adventure, so it's, you know, very, you know, cookie-cutter in that regard. It's going to be a lot of dungeon delving against, like, kobolds and goblins and that kind of thing, but it sort of has been built up to be a little bit more of an expansive thing as well. It's also been tweaked so that it will fit into a whole bunch of different settings. So if you want to set it in Eberron or Greyhawk or Dragonlance or Forgotten Realms, there's loads of little primers and stuff in there so that you can sort of suit it to that particular setting. But yeah, if you want to play some D&D, that adventure is free. All of the basic rules for 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons are also entirely free. So you can go and basically get all of the sort of standard, you know, stuff that makes up Dungeons & Dragons and play it for absolutely nothing right now. So yeah, good stuff there.
Cool. Happy days.
If you don't like your party, you can put them into Ravenloft and watch them all die.
Exactly, yes. You can throw them against Strahd and see what happens. Yeah.
Right. Has anybody got any minis for us to look at?
Yes. Yeah. So next up, we got some stuff from the guys at Gripping Beast. So obviously, Salute is not a thing, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to be releasing some cool stuff for everyone to play around with. And so on the historical side of things, for those people who are playing the likes of Saga and Swordpoint, which is another one of their games, they introduced a new character. So this is Prince Rurik, the Varengian, who's also one of the pagan Rus princes. So he's a new sort of almost kind of semi-mythical style character that also has a roots in historic history as well, who can be picked up for your pagan Rus factions within the game of Saga. Very cool character, some really neat stuff about him that you can go and dive into there. And again, it kind of builds on that idea of, you know, like Saga is a game that is effectively historical, but it draws a lot more of that kind of like, Saga-based stuff and that kind of mythology from the Norse region as well to sort of...
Like the myth with these guys is that there was Slavic people living in the region and they couldn't stop fighting each other. So then they basically invited the Vikings in and says, come on, rule us, because we can't sort it out. Starting the whole Rus dynasty, basically.
Yeah.
Like New Ireland.
That may not be fact, but that's...
For me, Lloyd.
There's also a lot of folklore around Rurik and his brothers as well. And so there's a lot of stories told about the different, him and his brothers and sort of how they set up their different kingdoms as well. So there's some really interesting stuff to dive into there. And it's one of the things I really like about seeing stuff that is not like the sort of standard stuff you'd imagine for history. So, you know, Vikings would be the normal thing you'd look at. But when you look at things for the pagan Rus and stuff, you suddenly get a little window into an entirely different aspect of the Dark Age world that you didn't really look at. The miniatures we're looking at here as well are for a band of nomadic people called the Avars, or the Avars, however you want to say it. And so they were a group of warriors who were a nomadic horde that sort of, you know, raged around sort of Eastern Europe and sort of parts of Asia during that kind of Dark Age into medieval sort of Middle Ages period. And they were known to be a little bit of a scourge of the Byzantines, and they even, you know, sieged a lot of their cities throughout that period as well. They were eventually stopped by Charlemagne, who sort of got rid of them all and, you know, ousted them from Europe. But they are a pretty interesting force. A lot of their sort of fighting style was done on horseback, as you can see here. So there's lots of different options for you there. So they've got mounted options. They've got ones with spears and stuff as well. They've got command elements as well at the same time. They actually fought alongside the Sassanids. So if you like them instead of history, then you've got some good options there too. But yeah, big awesome new army from them that they've done in metal. So if you play Swordpoint specifically, they've got some rules in there if you want to go and take them to a sort of a wider battle arena that isn't sort of like more of a skirmish thing, is more on the mass battle scale. So you've got some good options there for both, you know, proper Dark Age stuff and then things that sort of transition over into like the Middle Ages and the medieval period as well, which is cool.
Do you know what's cool about these? I like the plate mail because I hate painting horses. This, I didn't celebrate God done. I'm done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So effectively, you need to have armies that have cataphracts in them as well, then, Lloyd. So you can just paint horse armor, and that's all you need to worry about.
I need to get some of this. Is this before or after Mongols?
After these would be after, the sort of the successors to the Huns and the Mongols. So,
not that I care, Lloyd.
400, 600s.
You can fight me with these guys against my Mongols, but if you do that, I'm gonna add Charlemagne, man, my Mongol army.
Charlemagne's not going to no Mongol army, for goodness.
Yeah. Look, it's historical fact. The Mongols reached out to the Charlemagne man and said, Charlemagne, we can't stop fighting each other. Come in and rule us. So Charlemagne, we rocked in, and he's leading the Mongols. There.
Please somebody cue in Charlemagne by Christopher Lee right now. That would be amazing. It's an amazing metal album.
Yeah. Okay. We have a new Rangers of Shadowdeep adventure.
Yeah, so this is just a quick one, but a lot of people will know that Joseph McCullen, as well as doing Oathmark, which we're very much into at the moment, and also Frostgrave, he also has done his solo and cooperative based tabletop game called Rangers of Shadowdeep, and this is a new book that's going to be part of a 3-book series called Across the Wastes, and this is part of a wider adventure, called The Rescue, and this is going to come up with a whole bunch of new scenarios for slightly more veteran rangers. So if you've got level 10 rangers and beyond, you can use them in this. And it's going to be about you heading off into the deserts to the north of the region known as Alador within the world of Rangers of the Shadowdeep in search of a new hidden passageway into the Shadowdeep so you can go and rescue somebody. And as I say, this is part one of three, so it's all going to link together into a narrative scenario, which is very, very cool. As well as that, there's going to be obviously the scenarios themselves. There's a whole bunch of new companions in there. There's fearsome monsters for you to come up against and a whole bunch of other stuff as well. The thing that's really good about Rangers of Shadowdeep as a whole is that obviously it has that solo and cooperative nature to it, but it's effectively a game that makes you look at everything within the sphere of the hobby. So as well as making and painting your rangers, you then will be wanting to build all the terrain you need for the individual scenarios. And then also you're going to have to go and pick up all the monsters as well. So if you like, you know, if you're someone a little bit like a DM who loves going out and picking up loads of different monsters, this game very much caters to you in that regard as well.
How many rangers do I need for this? If you're painting...
I think my ranger gang was 4 models and that's it.
So you could just grab some Lord of the Rings type guys that you have sitting around yourself behind.
Yeah, or even some Glaswegians, Lloyd, would probably.
Yeah, so you can pretty much draw from a lot of different ranges and stuff. A lot of people have been really looking at the Night Watch and the Wildling ranges that Simon did for A Song of Ice and Fire, and using them as their rangers and companions. But the cool thing about... Yeah, Mantic would be really good for this.
Beautiful kind of like wildling minis recently.
Yeah, that'd be good as well.
The Northern Alliance clansmen.
Yeah.
The cool thing for this is that your ranger is like you, your roleplay character in a way, and then your companions are kind of people that will sort of drift in and out of your warband effectively as you play, but the ranger is like you on the tabletop, and so a lot of people put a lot of effort into that, and then building up their side characters as well. So it's a little bit like creating your own TV show in a way as well, which is really fun.
So I could run my Boris.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You could say that he is your ranger if you wanted to. Mm-hmm.
The key is to find some nice miniatures. You find nice miniatures that you want to play with, and then you build your ranger warband around that. And whether
that's
it's
effectively it. Yeah.
Westphalia or Night or Discworld was done by
Micro Art Studios.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you could do a semi-comedy version of Rangers of Shadowdeep with the Night Watch from Discworld running through a slightly more comedic...
Or the Monty Python Knights.
Of course, from Studio, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is why I buy all the models all the time, because I never know when a game will come out
that
will allow me to use them.
Yes.
And that is key.
It's very much in the scope of all the stuff that McCullen's done in the past, where it's all about, like... This is a tool set, and then you can bring whatever you want into it to play the game.
Okay, I'm sold. When is this out? Did we get a preview copy of this at all?
Jerry has a copy of Rangers of Shadowdeep.
I have a copy of Rangers.
Yeah, yeah.
So but you have a copy of this, yeah?
I have a copy of the starting book. The Across the Waste one is the first
expansion.
No, actually, not the first, second expansion.
Let's say it again. What have you got?
So that is Rangers of Shadow Deep.
Right, so this is what I need to get.
So this is the book itself.
Jerry, it's so thick.
It's good, isn't it?
There's a new deluxe version of that with updated rules in that's available from North Star Diffus. And
Deluxer, did you say? A new Deluxer.
Deluxer version.
Essentially, Joseph did Frostgrave and Oathmark with Osprey, but he self-published this.
Yes.
Because this was something he wanted to get out there, and it was like, well, if I try and do it with Osprey, then they have this, and this commitment. It's going to be a year and a half or whatever. Sort of. I'm just going to go into it. So I self-published it, and then afterwards, Modiphius have come back in, and they're doing the hardback deluxe.
Can I play it at 15 mil scale?
Have whatever scale you want. Yes.
It doesn't matter then.
There's no reason why you couldn't play it at that.
I find there was Northern Clansmen.
I'm going to hunt down your Deluxer version. we're going to try and find it because I want to try. I've been looking
for a
game.
Hairy fellas.
And it's an adventure kind of a game, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Totally like a proper adventure, role-play, skirmish kind of game, yeah.
I've been looking for an excuse to move into 15 mil on that side because I have quite a collection of 28 mil for D&D and stuff. So I've been kind of looking for an excuse to... because 15 mil is the best scale in the world, without doubt. So I've been looking for an excuse to do it. This could be it for me. This could be my thing.
We should go back and look at what Lloyd was trying to show because he's desperately trying to show us some Klansmen. So.
Oh, okay. 15 mil.
No.
No.
He's the Mantic ones. So
redo them at 15 mil.
If you got one box of this, Ben, that would be you done, essentially.
Yeah, that would be your ranger and all of your companions that you'd need, probably. Yeah.
Oh, so. We have an unboxing too.
Yeah, and do you get to pick your own monsters or the monsters in the book?
So the monsters are all scenario specific. So, for example, in the very first scenario, you go out into a rundown town and you get beset by zombies and sort of monstrous spiders and stuff like that, and flies as well. Mm. And so you'll need like a couple. So you'll meet at most maybe a dozen zombies. Maybe about five or six spiders, sort of flies. And then you'll also need some models to work as sort of NPC characters. But then that's
so basically the way to tackle this is you get this book, you go to the first adventure, and then you go and you spend your money on buying shit for that first adventure.
Yes, that's exactly what you do. And there's even a list before the scenario.
Says, love it.
This is the kind of things you need. Buy these, buy this terrain. Enjoy the scenario. Once you've completed it, go out and buy the next set of things.
Buy the next set of stuff. And guys, I'm reaching out to the community now. This is the best thing in the world, right? this is incredible because A, we can do it at 15 mil, and everybody knows 15 mil is now the best scale in the world. Secondly, it basically gives us a starting point, and we can all go out and hunt down cool stuff and compare what you find with what we find. Mm-hmm. That's really, really cool. It's all self-contained. It's cooperative and solo play, is it? You can play it by yourself?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Perfect for a lockdown. This is Joseph, you are a genius. Did anybody know if Joseph had been in Wuhan or anything recently? Did he have some sort of foreknowledge of this, of the whole situation happening? Because that is awesome.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
I'm kicking myself that I don't have a copy of that. Gonna have to change that. Yeah. Love it. Love
also,
it.
Also, North Star do an official range of miniatures for it as well. So there you go. So you can check that out too.
Even better. Even better. Right. I see a little Spartan of a man.
So Crocodile Games, who are the guys behind War Gods of Egyptus and War Gods of Olympus, which has come out in a new book quite recently, have also been working on expanding their range, and some of the new models they've done are for the Spartan faction within the game. And so they've created three sets of phalanx kits for the Spartans. So you've got each of them is slightly different. So you've got them in different poses and with different sort of accessories and stuff attached to them as well. And they're also in slightly different modes to two. So you've got them either with all their spears up in the air, you've got them with the shields obviously to the side, and you've also got ones with the spears down and ready to attack the enemy as well.
Oh, yes.
So you can combine these together in a whole bunch of different ways to make your big, chunky Spartan units. Obviously, you'll see from these images that they've been done in a much more of a heroic style. So they've been done to kind of match what you might have imagined from the sort of 300 movie and that kind of thing in the graphic novel as well. Mm. So if you like your bare-chested Spartan warriors with their loincloths and their massive shields and stuff, then these are definitely for you. In a game like War Gods of Olympus, which is very much based around the idea of massive heroic combat with the sort of demigods of the, you know, the mighty Olympians on the tabletop as well, that kind of fits with the sort of you know, aesthetic and stuff they're going for. You've also got some Spartan reinforcements there as well, because even though you are Spartans, you don't want to get shot up too badly as you're going into combat. And so there's a new Spartan archer unit there as well, which is probably a lot of the younglings from the Spartan army that have been banded together by one of the older gentlemen to, you know, protect them on the battlefield and, you know, send in those arrows to try and, you know, hamper the enemy before you get into combat and stuff.
That's what he tells you anyway.
That's what he tells you, yes, of course. We all know how the Spartans were. So.
Love it. Does it come in packs of 300, though?
Well, I'm sure if you asked them, they'd send you 300 Spartans.
So we need 300 Spartans.
Well, the code is 301. And 300.
No, it's 300 exactly.
No, Jerry, 301.
It's either 301 or 299, depending on how you count. It was the king plus his 300 bodyguard, and then two people were sent home because they were sick.
Oh, yeah.
So it's either 299 or 300.
Furloughed, Jerry. Furloughed.
Furloughed.
Did you know that at Thermopylae, right, the Spartans had a kind of like a raised kind of like a bridgey thing, and they were actually on top of that, stabbing down with their
stabbing down.
In fact, they built a kind of like a platform, and they went up on top of this platform, and they were stabbing down.
But that's cheating. Part of it.
It's well, not cheating. It's not cheating about that. All
is fair in love and war, Lloyd. And the Spartans knew both.
They loved war. There you go.
Yeah,
they loved the wall. By the sound of it.
Are they plastic?
No, I believe they're metal. Actually,
yeah. They're metal. Even better. Even better. I need 300 of them. We need to find out, do they come in packs of 300 or 299 or 301? Oh. So if we come in a pack of 299, awesome. Awesome stuff. Yep.
But they're not 15 mil, or?
Are they not?
No, they're 28. Yeah. So immediately that plan's kiboshed, but there you go. So
yeah, that's a...
I'm fairly certain I've seen 15 mil Spartans and Greeks on the list from Plastic Soldier Company.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, then. Well, it still would be very cool, though. Mm-hmm. They're on the wrong shape base, but that's okay.
Everything about them is perfect. Everything about them is perfect. They've got arrow skirts. I can forgive anything if they've got arrow skirts.
Arrow skirts?
Oh,
is that what they are at the bottom?
Yeah, stop the arrows hitting your legs and stuff.
Yeah. So.
Would that be a leather skirt, then?
I don't know if it was leather or linen. It was mostly just there just to cushion the blow and stop them actually hobbling half of your ranks.
Yeah.
Right. I thought they were there for just looking pretty.
No. defensive purpose. Yeah.
Okay,
defensive
Ben. Yeah. Ben, it's now your opportunity, I believe, to slip into your comfort zone here. Yeah. Tell us about the dwarves.
Okay, so I did say there would be dwarves in here, and so there are. So unreleased miniatures are a company that have been doing a lot of sort of sideline, I guess you'd say, fantasy Tolkien-esque stuff, which is pretty cool. I enjoy looking at that stuff. But this is a set of releases that I think are really cool because they've been working across a whole range of different games. And this is a bunch of what they have called the Dwarven Reclaimers. Not the Proclaimers, as I nearly wrote many times in the article, but the Dwarven Reclaimers.
And so this is because if they were the other, anytime they'd go, they may never come back.
Exactly.
I hope you put in walk 500 miles to buy these.
Yes. So, yeah, these guys have crossed 500 miles to get to their destination. But, yes, this is a set of – well, they're going to do a whole selection of different options here for the dwarves here. But this is the set of three miniatures which come with a range of different weapon options. So you've got some options there for both axes and shields. But they've also done some versions of them with different weapons. So you've got them with double-handed weapons. You've also got them with bows as well. There's some of the painted ones that have been done by their by professional painters there, which I think are looking really, really good. They've also done a leader for the unit as well, so a Dwarven Reclaimer leader who's leading the way. So he's either got his raven on his shoulder and his pipe in his mouth ready to, you know, dictate where they're going to go next on their journey. But there's also a version of him resting with his hands on the axe as well, so he's ready to get stuck into some battles at the same time too. As I said, these have very much got a very like a Tolkien-esque look to them, which is very good. So if you want them as some alternatives for Middle-earth gaming as well, you've got some really good options there. But because they're so effectively system agnostic in the way they've been designed, they could be used for a whole bunch of stuff as well. We were just talking about, you know, a couple of minutes ago about Ranger of Shadow Deep. If you wanted to do a Dwarven Ranger band, maybe this would be a good option to do that kind of thing. So some synergy there, which is pretty awesome. But yeah, so unreleased miniatures, they're coming out soon. I believe they're coming out this weekend, actually, for everyone to go and pick up. Good I've done today. A bunch of stuff as well for sort of things to fill the gap within the Middle-earth range that didn't exist. They've kind of done similar stuff for that as well. So there's some good stuff for you to go and check out from these guys. All of it's done in resin, which is really good as well. And they are still shipping out to everyone, as you can see there, too.
Happy days. Happy days. What are the dudes over at Otherworld doing?
So the guys at Otherworld, going from sort of like more modern miniature design back to sort of more classic stuff, they've had a bunch of releases out for April, starting with what you can see here, the Magic User and Bowfighter, who you may remember from the cover of an ancient Dungeons & Dragons book. So they have been based on some of the artwork from one of the original Garrett Gygax-style Dungeons & Dragons books there, as you can see. And this is very much indicative of all the stuff that Otherworld do. So they have a vast collection of models now that are they've done for their own game as well, which is like a dungeon-delving skirmish thing. But it's basically there for those people that want to dive in and come up with all the NPCs and monsters and heroes and stuff you need for your proper dungeon-delving adventures. As you can see here, they've done a bunch
Welsh Rangers,
Yeah, so you've got some Welsh Rangers there, as you say, ranging over the mountains to find their lost flock and stuff. But
yeah.
So you've got some good options there for NPCs if you want to dive in and do something like that. So maybe you want to go through a village and try and save them from goblins. You've also got these demons as well. So
try to fly, my pretties. Try to fly.
So for those of you that have looked at that Demons and Devils section of the D&D Monster Manual, you'll see some similarities here in some of the stuff that Otherworld have been doing. They tend to look at a lot of that kind of stuff that you would have seen in those old manuals from kind of second edition onwards almost, and taken that sort of art style and aesthetic forward with what they're doing for this.
That's amazing. So you've
got that winged furry fellow there. They've also got some other options as well.
It makes me really jealous. I don't have much fur up the middle of my belly, but that's epic looking.
So yeah, you've got some really good stuff there that they've done for that. So you've got the demons, you can see there, and there's another one, which is a little bit more of like a Gorgon style one. The other thing I thought would be cool for this one is that if you were looking to do something a bit more Conan based, this is very much in that kind of like Hyperborean style of demon that you normally use on the tabletop as well. So yeah. And then, of course, you've got the classic ooze of slime as well. So if you want to throw something like that into the mix, you've got that there too. But as I say, this is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the Otherworld range. They have done boxes of adventurers, both, you know, classic and slightly more different. They've done like an evil adventuring party as well. So if you want to go and check those out, you've got those too. And if you could ever think of, you know, oh, where do I start when it comes to building up a set of models that I want to use to, you know, use as kobolds or goblins or orcs and that kind of thing, Otherworld have all of those in metal for you to go and check out over on their website. So it's well worth going to have a look at that in more detail. So
happy days.
As you can see there. They've also got some really cool stuff in there that is done or based off more cover art. So if you scroll up just a little bit, Lloyd, and you see that diorama. Idol there.
Yeah, the Demon Idol diorama.
Yeah, so that is one that you will hopefully notice from some D&D artwork as well in the past.
Yeah.
It is a classic.
It is a classic, yeah.
Right, last bit of news then. We've got an RPG, Agents of Concordia.
Yeah, so Modiphius are bringing a lot of different role-playing games under their wing right now and publishing a bunch of different stuff. So this is a new one, which is called, as you say, Agents of Concordia. It's set during a 1960s that never was, because having never was at the end of your decade seems to be the thing to do right nowadays, Telson Relief, etc. But this is a role-playing game where you play as the agents of the Concordia Central Intelligence Agency. And so you are sent out a little bit like, say, think Men in Black's, you know, X-Files kind of thing, to go and solve mysteries and make sure that the multiverses are not at at odds with each other, and there's no threats coming through from different worlds, because you play humans as well as fantasy creatures like ogres and weird sort of like little furry oddities and all that kind of thing, who have all banded together as part of this sort of conglomerate to try and stop all the multiverses from interceding with each other. And so you're going to be sent out to try and find out what's happening with tears in reality, weird goings on, maybe, you know, being a human, moving over into these different vast fantasy worlds and engaging in sort of adventures in a world that is entirely made out of mushrooms or something weird like that. And so there's lots of scope for games masters to tell very interesting and different stories and stuff, which is very, very cool.
Now we know how you're spending in your lock-in.
one of the
your Badger King rules.
It is Kingdom of Mushrooms, yes. Oh yes, it's always good for the psychedelic aspect. But yes, on the other side of thing, sort of like talking mechanically about the game, one of the things they've said about this is that it's very much focused on the idea of like Hollywood style action. So if you like the idea of big bombastic adventures on the tabletop, this is a game for you to go and check out. If you're a big fan of things like urban fantasy, so you like things like the Dresden Files and those kind of books, if you like anything to do with magic interceding with the real world and that kind of thing, it's a really good way to get people involved in role-playing games, because at the beginning of this, you've got that very familiar aspect to it. It's in the, maybe it's set in the city that you live in and that kind of thing. You know, you've got places like London, Paris, all these different names. Then you start to throw in that kind of uncanny fantasy element at the same time. Suddenly you've got them hooked on something that's a bit different from the norm as well. So it's a good way to get people involved in role-playing games.
Happy days. Right. We're going to take a swish and then we'll be right back, because Jerry is going to lead us through Wolfenstein.
Okay, so Archon Studios then are currently on Kickstarter rocking pulp Nazi killing in Wolfenstein.
Nice.
It is. For me, nice. Being, I think the last time I played a computer game properly was probably Wolfenstein.
Same here, Jerry. I often tell the story, Wolfenstein was what made me and Lloyd move from our land of loveliness that was the Amiga to the PC. Because the Amiga was great at the time. It did all that beautiful parallax kind of stuff.
And it used many colors and shapes.
Oh, loved it. But it didn't do 3D particularly well. They had a crack at it with an old RoboCop game, which was a bit shite. But we then saw Wolfenstein on the PC, and I was like, oh, jaw dropped to the ground. Best thing ever in my life. Life-changing moment.
That's right, yeah. And we saved up all our money to get our PC, and then we gave it all to this bloke. And then we didn't see our PC for months.
Yep.
And then we had to go and stake his house out.
We actually had to go and stand outside his house to get our PC.
Wow.
It was a different time. Huh?
It was. Yeah. It was, yeah. I think he went on to create Dell or something like that.
Well, PC aside, they have a 1-4 player board game on Kickstarter for you to explore the modern version of Wolfenstein. So people who are familiar with the likes of New Colossus and that sort of thing, where you've got B.J. Blazkowicz killing his way through a 1960s alternative history instead of the original Wolfenstein, which was set during the Second World War. And they've got a core box. So the base level buy-in gets you the core Wolfenstein box with two expansions, but they've also added secondary expansions on top of that, as well as that sort of gorgeous, you can see the 3D rendered terrain if you want to do a full dungeon experience.
So yeah,
that's an extra if you like your 3D walls, your 2.5D dungeon explorer, like I know you do.
I do, yes.
But if you don't, you can just get the basic buy-in core set, and it is a 1-4 player game, so it can play solo or play up to 4 players. And even within that, you have a lot of options as well, because you've got currently, because I haven't looked at where the Kickstarter's expanded to. I know they've got at least 3 more heroes in there, but the base set comes with 6 heroes that you can choose from, and you can swap in or swap out any of them between each game. So there's an awful lot of mixes that you can have, and each of them has their own particular skill set within the game of Wolfenstein as well.
Yeah.
So you can have your big bruiser, heavy hitter like Max Haas, who's not particularly clever, but will club most people to death. Or you can have Anya, who's very nimble. She's got a good long-range weapon. She's an awful lot of activations. Obviously, BJ Blazkowicz is there because why would you have a Wolfenstein game without him? Now, I haven't played New Colossus, so I would say that's bomb bait, but he could be bombate. I don't know. So obviously, if you played the original Wolfenstein, you'll be aware of this delightful gentleman, the one, the only, Mecha Hitler.
Yes.
They have done some actual Mecha Hitler versions of the models in a more modern style, shall we say, for Wolfenstein. And they're particularly nice because they follow the Bethesda style of game that currently exists. So they're realistic. They're not chunky, square, blocky things. But for old grognards like ourselves, it's nice to see him in there. And he is as difficult as you remember killing in the original Wolfenstein, if you had the misfortune of having to kill him in the original Wolfenstein. I mean, you finally defeat Mecha Hitler, and then Hitler crawls out of the wreckage, and you've got to defeat a whole other Hitler.
It's
double the Hitlers. I have to say, the miniatures themselves are absolutely stunning. Now, these are renders, but they did send out prototype versions in resin of these miniatures. Mm-hmm. And they capture every bit of detail that you would expect. And then they also sent out the hard plastic sprues of the heroes, because this game is actually going to come with completely hard plastic miniatures. Now, it looks like it's all going to be sprue brace, which means if you're a board game player, you may go, it's bits. But for war gamers who are used to assembly, the detail you can get on a hard plastic sprue is so far in advance of what you can get on a one-piece board game miniature. I think it's worth it. I imagine some board game players will cry, but
I believe that they've been done so they basically just slot together as well, don't they? So they're not, you don't have to use glue, they kind of just push together,
The prototype one I have of the heroes does require glue.
Right, okay.
As to whether or not that is the final actual version that they produce is another matter.
I know somewhere on this Kickstarter page there is an example of one that's kind of getting pushed together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, before you go too far now,
the 3D walls, but
this is the bit that I want to talk about, right? Because I was excited for this Kickstarter, okay? First, like most people, I thought to myself, well, Reichbusters has just come out. What's going to make this different? And it is quite different in a lot of ways. You know, the gameplay has some differences. Yeah. And it is official Wolfenstein. So, like, if you're a fan of Wolfenstein, this is the way to get it officially and get the characters and stuff you know. However, see that 3D dungeon terrain thing for it. I'm so excited for this. Now, everybody knows I love a 2.5D dungeon. Yeah. And for the longest time, I have wondered why dungeon crawlers and the likes, they've never actually come out with a plastic option where you can bolt it together. Then the guys at Archon do this, and I'm just ready to die with awesome excitement on this. This just looks amazing. The other beauty of this is it's basically the same technology as what they have done with the Dungeons and Lasers Kickstarter some time ago.
Yeah.
Now, I got a box of kind of sample bits from that Dungeons and Lasers stuff, and I put it together and painted it up in no time at all. This is going to be so cool. Yeah. I mean, so cool.
The details that they managed to get on that Dungeons and Lasers were very crisp, and it meant if you were good at painting, you can do some fantastic stuff. And likewise with this Wolfenstein set, they have the hanging banners and bits and bobs. That means you can really get in there in detail. If you're not a big painter, and you just want to fire down a spray, hit it with inks, contrasts, or that sort of thing, the details are that sharp and I don't want to say ingrained because it sounds wrong, but there's a depth to the sculpts, yes, which means it's really easy to get a very dynamic looking board very quickly. And I think that is outstanding.
Well, like the Dungeons and Lasers stuff, Jerry, I literally primed it black, gave it a dusting to zenith it, and then just
it was all model mates.
Washes, yeah, and model mates. And it was like pop, it was done. And it just was so nice. Like, I mean, so nice. And the great thing about this is you have incremental steps that you can take with this. Like we see at the moment, you can play with the card with the doors.
Yes.
All dungeons should have doors.
They do.
But then, you know, you can spray up the other stuff and put it together. Yeah. Man, can you imagine sitting down with your friends for game night with some German beers and a proper 3D Nazi research dungeon?
Oh, here we go. Look, right. I was trying to find this.
Is
here
it.
We go.
Yep.
So that's sort of the regular sort of set, and then some expanded plastics here.
Yeah. Oh, just look at that. Lloyd, I haven't been this excited about a German dungeon since we came back from Berlin.
that's a hard one to beat.
That is. And the thing about this game is, real estate-wise, now, I don't know if the expansions add extensions to this core set or if...
Well, that's not the core set right there.
That's not the core set. No. But the core set is the same amount of corridors and
corridors and things.
Yeah. So I don't know if the expansions add to that, so that you're going, you have X number of tiles of rooms, corridors for your first, plus then the expansion, this mission adds three more that you add onto it, or if they're whole new. But you can easily play it on a kitchen table. If you're neater in how you lay things out than I am, you can probably play on a smaller coffee table type of affair. But it's not a sprawling. I know some games are great, but they sprawl over easily a 6x4 and sometimes bigger than that, and you're looking at it going, I'm never playing this at home. This will comfortably this will comfortably sit on a standard coffee table. And then if you've got a dining table, then that's great, because you can have all of the cards for heroes, villains, and everybody laid out at one go. I know this because I have game to try.
Well, that was going to lead me to it. You've spent a bit of time with this. Now, unfortunately,
I have.
We haven't got a playthrough of it because it arrived just at the point that we went into lockdown.
Yeah. So,
do you have a project or something where you've spent a bit of time with this, or...?
What I've done is I've put up some of the miniatures I painted, because I started painting them with a view to actually getting a game before things went horribly wrong. Once we hit the point where we knew we weren't going to be able to get a Let's Play done, it's like, okay, well, let's try and get this painted to a decent standard and hammered out as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
So these are
the resin prototypes or what?
So these are the resin prototypes. So you have the... These are your Rocket Troop, Flame Troop, Uber Soldat, and Super Soldat. The guy on the far right, the Super Soldat, he really is super. Oh my God, he is. There are two sculpts for every miniature at the moment. Now, they may unlock more from stretch goals, but as far as your villains go, you've got regular soldiers, space marines, and the like. The detail on them is really nice. Now, these are the resins. I also have the plastics, and I've been able to compare the plastics, and I will be doing possibly little painting tutorials on the plastics. They were so nice to see,
especially
Hitler. I would also like to say, you know, he's a happy man. All of the bases come on the sprues, and they're all textured. So where you see a rumpled carpet or a grate or whatever, in fact, there's less detail on the resins because the resins are solid cast.
Yeah.
So if you've got a base with a grating on it, it's a solid base with a grating on it.
Uh-huh.
If you've got the plastic, in fact, if I grab the plastic sprue, you may not be able to see that,
Oh, you can see through the grating.
You can see through it because they're actually...
Let me embiggen you.
Trying to find something.
Oh, I can't. Yeah. I can't see it.
So, well, this one here, if I put something white behind it, you'll be able to see the fact that the grating, maybe not, the grating actually is carved through it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, modelers and the likes of people like Binky who do things like LED stuff, you could have underlit bases and bits. You could have lit up creepy green glows and that sort of thing for when you're exploring your dungeons. So there's more detail. It's not often you say that. There's more detail on the plastics than there is on the resins. Mm-hmm. Weird, but true. But yeah, the plastics themselves are great. If you go back to Mecha Hitler and Hitler, he's not finished yet, but I had to do that simply because the old classic Hitler
in was blue. Game,
he was like a blue and red, and it was very, it was very jarring. Very, we've only got 8 colors to play with, and it's like, how can I do this? Blue steel, nice. You can move on. Hitler's face is very shiny because Hitler's face is gloss varnished to protect him while I paint the rest of it. Because I don't want to splash his face with unusual oils. Anyway, but the gameplay itself is interesting because you get a scenario and you have to complete the scenario. So the first mission is called First Blood and you have an event to complete. And there are a couple of different places on the map where you can complete an event. And then when you complete that, you get the key. Essentially, you've looted the key from whoever had it by completing the event. And the event cards are random, so you can pull an event out that says something like, you found some toys for Max Haas there. Big Max. Max likes toys. If you've got Max, you get a glory point. If you don't have Max, you can get 2 glory points by going and go, look, Max, I found toys for you. And he goes, oh, toys, like toys. And that's great. Other ones are some prisoners want you to free them and it will spawn additional enemies who aren't included because the game sets up where you have your spawn point, you have alarm points. So where you see these cards on the board there, where miniatures are stacked on the beside a room, they're actually the reinforcements who will come in if you trigger the alarm. If you're lucky, you can get through this game without triggering the alarm. I've never been that lucky. So what happens is I trigger the alarm and then all hell breaks loose. And when you make noise by fighting, everything comes towards you. I thought, okay, first time I went into the big room, killed some things, and everything came towards me and butchered me wholesale. I went, that's bad. So the next time I played, I went, I'll go to this bottom left, you see the spawn point where the 4 heroes are just sitting off to one side. And then just down the corridor to the right is a room with like hardly anybody in it. That's one of the super soldats and a drone. And that super soldat is incredibly difficult. So I went that way the second time thinking there's only 2, it'll be easier. Oh, no. No, it wasn't.
But is this board laid out like this or does it build up as you go?
No, this you set out the board beforehand. So it's not you don't explore. Although you could possibly go back after you've played through the scenarios and play because there's a campaign where you can play any you want. But the reason it's laid out in that room where I went the second time with the super soldat, there's a little orange icon.
Yeah, just here.
That's it. And that is a secret pathway that will lead you to another room. In that case, it joins to that one over there. Now, if you go through there, you become fatigued, which is a mechanic where you get less activation points this next turn. So you know you can push if you want to push and do something additional. Or in this case, I thought I'll go in there, I'll kill them quickly. Everything will come towards my room. We'll all dive down the tunnel. Everything will be in the wrong room. And if you're not making noise, then you're safe because they don't know where to go.
When you say everything comes towards you, right? So you come out of this room here, went along and into this room.
Yeah.
All these guys here sitting around could go into that room.
No, they're not on the board until the alarm is triggered. But whenever you start shooting, you make noise Well, actually, you know, when you start shooting, you make noise, and the things that are on the board come towards you.
So,
and when you start killing stuff, the hazard goes up, and you get more likely to trigger the alarm.
So, see this guy over here. Did they start coming down corridors and things? Yeah.
So, once I went into this first room and killed people up, the alarm doesn't trigger, but you make noise, and everybody can hear it, and they'll move towards noise. Noise only lasts a turn, so if you can kill somebody quickly, amazing. They'll come towards you, and if you can find another way out, then you've pulled them away from where they were going and off you trundle. If, like me, you discover that you can't roll for toffee and this thing has 7 armor and 5 hit points, then you spend 3 turns while the drones come zipping down the corridors towards you, and everybody will pull, and all of a sudden you turn around and there's a wall of Nazi death just trickling down, and you're just going, well... shucks. But there are certain mechanics that, apart from the mixture of heroes that you bring in, there are also various difficulty levels you can play out. So you can play at standard, where everybody gets a res token, essentially another 20p to put in the machine, and you can bring somebody back. Who, if they've died, they get left down, and then if somebody gets over to them, they can use a couple of their action points to resurrect them. Everybody gets one of those little resurrection tokens, but you can play a simpler level where you start with more ammo for everybody and you get an additional one of those resurrections, or you can play a harder difficulty where you get no ammo and, you know, you don't get to use those, and stuff triggers in different ways, so there's a fair amount of replayability. And if, like me, you've tried it on the normal level several times and still haven't killed that officer, but I am getting closer. You can always go back and you can go, I think the simplest difficulty is Daddy, can I play? Like, you're playing with your kids, and the kids going, Daddy, can I? And you're going, yeah, super easy. Okay, there you go. Oh, well done. You've killed all the Nazis. Well done. You. And I love that. It really does give a feel of the game and the mechanics. And like I said, there's a certain amount of whimsy in there, because apart from finding toys for Max, you can find like a pig that becomes a friend, or you can, at the other side, you have the sort of, you know, an old friend who is also a collaborator / defector is coming towards you, and you can choose the event cards. You don't have to do an event, so if you trigger an event and that first mission where you need to complete one, and there are 3 options on the map, you might trigger the first one and it's something like spawn 3 more soldiers to fight, and you're thinking, no, I don't want to do this. So you just ignore it. But it might be you were triggering those 3 more soldiers because your options were to free some prisoners and trigger the extra soldiers, or just leave them. And you just go, you know what? It's sad that you're a prisoner, but I'm not. And I'm just going to walk away and hope for something simpler.
So it gives you these choices then, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. And not every event is a choice. Sometimes it's just a very simple, you've got it. Sometimes it's a dice roll where if you're successful, good things happen. And if you're not successful, bad things will happen. And this is all built in there. And they seem to be knocking through stretch goals at a rate of knots. I am a fan.
There's that example we were talking about. So this is kind of what they're aiming to be, then, the actual production minis.
Yeah. So she actually has like a pin plug on her waist there. Mm-hmm. And the prototype I have is not that. So it's not a snap fit.
Mm-hmm. But so it looks like it will be.
It looks like it will be in that. I will be doing an unboxing / build of the plastics next week. So you'll be able to see exactly how the 6 heroes come together. But yeah,
fantastic. Well,
I do like
Wolfenstein is up, guys. Well worth jumping in on. If you're a fan of the Weird World War, this is the granddaddy of the Weird World War. So, you know, I am going to be watching out for that Wolfenstein dungeon like nobody's business. I want all of it.
It's got flags as well.
All of it. All of it. I'll be looking. I'll go and get some awesome decals and stuff like that there to put. Oh, man, it's going to be so cool. I just need to pick the right German beer. So we will reach out to our German community on that. What is the Wolfenstein beer for this particular thing that whenever on tabletop can all get back together and actually be allowed to hug one another once again?
It needs to be one that travels well, because this is based in the States.
What's so, based in the States?
Wolfenstein, this version.
Modern Colossus, nah. Ours will be the 40s.
We will find out what the best German beer is for this game. We will get it. We will get together, and we're gonna have a German dungeon. Awesome. Right. Next Kickstarter is from Blacklist Games. This is a fantasy model set. And if you thought you were going to get away this week without Justin being in the show, you were wrong, because Justin got a chance to sit down with them to talk about it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. I am joined by Adam Sadler from Blacklist Games. You guys are coming to Kickstarter with a new fantasy miniatures range. Yeah, Adam?
Yes, that's correct. We are offering Blacklist Miniatures. It's a new division here at Blacklist Games. Mm-hmm. It's called Blacklist Miniatures, and we're calling it Product Fantasy Series 1 because we hope it opens the door to other series in the future. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I mean, like, what would people know you guys best for? Let's say someone's watching this and they've never heard of you guys before. What would you say is your big ticket item, your best known for thing?
So I've been designing board games with my twin brother, Brady, for about 10 years now. People might know us back when we worked at Fantasy Flight Games. I designed Descent 2nd Edition. Mm-hmm. We designed Warhammer Quest, the adventure card game, and several games since then. And then we were hired by Blacklist Games after our work on Street Masters. We did Street Masters, Brook City, and Alter Quest was one of our most recent games.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so the thing is, you've moved to the new company, and now you're starting to break into a miniatures range. Now, is it just a miniatures range, or are you maybe looking at a rule set behind that?
So right now we are exploring the idea of doing miniature ranges, so we can in the future maybe do board games that have standees or tokens and offer accompanying products on the side of just miniatures, so people can expand their games with miniatures if they wish, but be able to buy a board game at a lower price, because a lot of our games like Street Masters and Alter Quest, they're big box games with lots of miniatures. They're very expensive. So we go to conventions and people are interested in Alter Quest and Street Masters, and we're like, all right, well, here it is. Here's a $100 game with 5 expansions. You know, it's a big ask for someone to invest in right off the bat.
You better bring a shopping cart.
Yeah, exactly. So we kind of want to give people more options. And we're just kind of seeing what the interest is in just miniatures. Because I play a lot of miniatures games. I've been playing, you know, Warhammer ever since I was 16 years old.
Yeah, I'm seeing some Blood Bowl Necromunda in the background there.
Oh yeah. that's kind of my thing. I love miniatures games. Mm. And I also play a lot of miniature agnostic games. Mm. Games like Frostgrave, mm-hmm. Rangers of Shadowdeep.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to give people those options that they're just looking for fantasy miniatures for any game they want to use it in, and role playing especially.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what characters are we going to see within this set one? What's the theme of the first set?
So people might recognize a lot of D&D themes with this one. I wanted to gear the miniatures in this line to be traditional Dungeons & Dragons type characters, heroes you would see in any D&D game, the kind of monsters you would face up against. So I was thinking about, if I was a dungeon master and I was looking for miniatures for my campaign, is there like a one-stop shop I can go get something for a good price with everything that I would need? That's kind of what we were going for with this series. And we have tons of stretch goals planned that kind of scratch other itches as well in the fantasy genre. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, okay, so you're going to Kickstarter. Do you have your dates pinned down just yet, or is it still a little bit, you know, in the flow with the whole pandemic thing going on at the minute?
So the Kickstarter launched on Tuesday, the 14th. Okay. So we are live now, and I believe we're about halfway funded right now.
Awesome.
And we're about to announce some exciting news. Ever since we announced this campaign, we've had fans of our previous game, Alter Quest, that's getting ready to go to the printer right now. It's mm-hmm. Almost starting to print. People have been asking if they can get, you know, Alter Quest crossover content in this campaign, and we kind of we're undecided about that, but we did have a slight delay at the factory because of the whole pandemic situation, mm-hmm. and that opened the door to we're going to offer people in this campaign a chance to get Alter Quest content they might have missed. We had a lot of people that missed the Kickstarter last year, mm-hmm. and they want to get in on it, so we're going to offer Alter Quest content as well as some crossover content with these new miniatures people mm-hmm. can bring into their games of Alter Quest.
Awesome. Absolutely awesome. So this is live now. You're on your way to being funded. What are you looking at delivery scale wise? You know, what sort of time scale are you looking at getting this out to everybody?
So this one should have a pretty quick turnaround. We have the sculpts, all the base sculpts done. Depending on how many stretch goals we unlock, that kind of will determine the time frame for delivery. Mm-hmm. We have the estimated delivery date set to if we unlock all of our stretch goals, but if we unlock less than we planned, it'll be quicker. Mm-hmm. There's no gameplay content we need to develop and play test and art to commission. It's going to be just sculpts. So it should be a fairly quick turnaround, hopefully delivering with this year.
Awesome. Awesome. And what material are you looking at? Is it going to be plastic, resin, metal?
Plastic, PVC plastic. It's going to be very similar to the quality we have in our AlterQuest miniatures. Mm-hmm. We've been showing samples of those, and I'm probably going to share some more of those in the campaign so people can see the detail to what they expect. I was very impressed with the samples we got back from the factory for AlterQuest. That's kind of what inspired me to want to do just a miniatures campaign, because the AlterQuest miniatures look so good. I was like, we should just sell these alone. You know, if people just want miniatures, this is really good quality. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Well, I mean, like, you've got your fantasy set underway. If you're doing other sets, what sort of ideas are you guys bouncing around to actually load into another set?
We have lots of ideas for a horror line of miniatures, something along the lines of like Resident Evil type stuff. Nice. You know, mutants and zombies and things. Obviously, we have ideas for sci-fi as well. Mm-hmm. But I have ideas for more fantasy series 2 and 3 even. Mm-hmm. It just depends on how well this one does and what the interest is.
Yeah, very cool. Very, very cool. Which of the miniatures would you say currently is your favorite out of what you've got sitting?
My favorite is by far the human male cleric, mainly because I like clerics. I always want to play priest characters in role-playing games and stuff like that. So he's definitely kind of what I want. I told the sculptor I want to make a character for me, so that one is for me. But I also really love the skeleton sculpt. It turned out really cool. Probably one of the coolest skeleton miniatures I've ever seen.
If you do say so yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I always love seeing, you know, new takes on characters, new takes on the monsters that you can meet in a dungeon. Because anytime someone's sitting down to play like a role-playing game, you're always imagining it inside your head. But if you can have that little representation of who you are, what you are, you know, that just, it makes it a little more special, a little more real to me.
Yeah, for sure. And another element that we have available in this campaign that I always like to, you know, make things real is the scenery pieces from AlterQuest. Mm. Those are available as an add-on. So people who like to fill the dungeon with little bookshelves and alchemy desks and stuff like that, that's available in there as well. And those turned out really cool.
Yeah, my boss Warren in here, he absolutely loves doing what he describes as the 2.5D dungeon. When you're adding your doors, adding your furniture and stuff, he always says it brings it a little bit more to life for him. So yeah, definitely something people should be checking out. Is there anything else in the Kickstarter that people should be aware of?
I think the big thing is it's pretty reasonably priced for the amount of miniatures you get. It's $65 for the base pledge. You get 71 miniatures, and one of those is a big, huge dragon.
Ooh, nice.
And then all the stretch goals that we have planned are going to be free added on. So hopefully it's going to be a lot of miniatures for a low price.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Adam, thank you very much for jumping on with us, giving us a quick overview of the Kickstarter. Everybody at home, I tell you what, get your comments in below. What are you looking forward to? What's your favorite miniature? I'm sure Adam is probably going to be keeping an eye on the comments just to see what everybody's saying. We will move on. We will see you again soon.
So that was a chat where they were talking to Blacklist Games about Fantasy Series 1. It looks really interesting. As someone who is a big fan of sort of dungeon diving adventures, D&D, role-playing in general, and that kind of thing, seeing sets like this is really good. The sort of core of the game, as I'm sure they've talked about already, is this like that 70-figure set of heroes and monsters. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I really liked about it personally was that they've tried to cater to a lot of classic ideas of what heroes look like, but also done some stuff that's slightly different as well. So they've got lots of gnomes and halflings in there, which are some of the hardest to find miniatures. Never mind things like half-orcs as well. You can always find humans, elves, and dwarves, but you can never find things like half-orcs and that kind of thing. So thankfully they put those in. And my favorite miniature of the heroes is the half-orc ranger. He's my favorite, that guy. If you scroll just a little bit further up, Lloyd, you'll see him there. He's very cool.
Are we looking for?
There he is with the bow, the half-orc ranger. Oh, yeah. What a badass. Oh. And as well as that, they've done those sets of like five minion groups. So if you're one of those people, and I think I talked about this in the news story we did for them earlier in the week, that if you are someone who likes, you're ever setting up really nice rooms full of, you know, cool monsters, you've mm-hmm. got the amount of kobolds you need in order to play that kind of scenario out, which is really good. And as I say, just the same as with Heroes, when it comes to the monster side of things, they've done the kind of casual standard stuff. So they've done things like zombies, undead, kobolds, goblins, but they've also done slightly quirky and different things as well. So there's lots of things in there that will kind of help you as a dungeon master come up with interesting campaign ideas and that kind of thing. Yeah. The other thing that I think is really good for this, from my own point of view, is that this is the kind of set you buy if you're going to do something that allows you to use the models in a whole range of different games. Mm. They're all 28 mil. And so the things you're looking at here would be great for example, as we were talking about earlier in the show, the kind of monsters you need to use in games like Raid to Shadow Deep and that kind of thing.
Look at those giant worms, Warren. They'd have been so handy if you had those.
Yeah. I'll talk about that on Sunday, but yeah.
they've also got that massive dragon as well, which is the Kickstarter exclusive for that set, which is really cool.
What I really like about this, Ben, is this has a Reaper Bones kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
A big box of everything that you need, mm-hmm. but the quality is much better than the Reaper Bones. I've seen the Bones stuff and it's okay. But if I was going to invest in a big box of D&D styled minis, mm-hmm. the quality of this looks really, really good. Like, I mean, really good.
They've got doors and scenery, so they've got you covered as well, Warren. But no, I totally agree. I know from their past anyway, Blacklist have done some good Kickstarter projects in the past that they've used. They've used 3D design models and that kind of thing. Let's not get sidetracked by the mushrooms just yet.
Too late, man. We're already sidetracked by the mushrooms.
So yeah, they've done a bunch of Kickstarters before where they've done models to go with those board games and stuff. Yeah. So they definitely know what they're doing when it comes to this kind of thing. And hopefully they talked about that a little bit more in the design.
But they did, the interesting thing that Adam talked about was people may know them from AlterQuest and they may know Blacklist from Street Master, which was very 80s based board games, 80s arcade kung fu board games rather. This doesn't have a game behind it, but the idea is if this is successful and they see that there is actually a thirst for this style of classic miniature that will fit many genres at the moment, then they'll do maybe another set and another set, and then they're going to release a game. And Adam and his brother have worked on some fairly well-known games. If people don't know Blacklist, yes, grand. Not everybody's heard of Blacklist games, but I'm fairly certain a lot of people have heard of Descent.
And
X-Wing, which they worked on when they were at Fantasy Flight. Mm-hmm. So this is not a company that's come out of nowhere, but it is a company that has a pedigree behind them.
Another thing that I really like about this, and I kind of equate it a little bit to what we've said in the past about stuff like with the, you know, the dungeon tile sets that they that were done by a company whose name has now escaped me. What were they called? God damn it.
Archon?
I'm not sure which dungeon tile.
No, the cardboard tiles.
The
fantasy one. It gives you all the things you need to start playing a game. So if you combine a bunch of those kind of projects together, you suddenly have everything you need to play Dungeons and Dragons and that kind of thing.
It's gorgeous stuff. Gorgeous stuff.
It's ridiculously priced as well. The dragon by itself, it's $65, and you're getting a dragon plus 70 other miniatures.
Plus all the stretch goals that they unlock as well.
So. Yeah. Really?
It's worth it for the dragon, to be perfectly honest.
Okay, guys, 18 days left on that one. Definitely worth checking out. Fantasy Series 1 from Blacklist Games. Right, that wraps us up for another weekend. Remember, you can come across on Sunday and join us for XLBS, where we film it in our pants, basically. It's very relaxed. Ourselves and the cult members get together and do cultish types of things. Right, Jerry, Ben, Lloydie. Thank you, guys, for brightening my Friday night. I really needed that. So, guys, you have been watching The Weekender.
Go ahead and check out our other content on screen now. And while you're at it, why not hit subscribe and remember to ding our dong. Go on, you know you want to click it. Go on.